thank you very much for inviting me today. Over the last year, we've been conducting a lot of research to try to understand the impacts that the pandemic's had on children and young people in the UK, and also to try and address some of those things that we've discovered along the way. Today, because we've just got a short amount of time, I'm going to just give you some of the main findings from our co-space study, which has been tracking mental health throughout the pandemic in children and young people. But before I start on that, I just want to highlight really that prior to the pandemic, it was already clear that we had a big problem in terms of the prevalence of mental health problems among children and young people. So in 2017, a nationally representative survey conducted in England found that 1 in 9 children and young people had a probable mental health disorder. And that reflected a significant increase from previous surveys, and most notably a 49% increase in emotional disorders compared to similar data collected in 2004. So we already had reasons to be concerned. And then clearly the pandemic has brought many other challenges for children, young people and families. So some of those that have come up and been identified in a range of studies are listed here, including concerns about the direct viral threat to young people themselves, their family, their friends, managing the ongoing uncertainty that they've faced, dealing with different pressures relating to schoolwork, learning from home and so on, the economic impacts on families, managing boredom and not being able to do the usually enjoyable things, not seeing friends, feeling isolated, but also we've heard about increases in domestic violence and reduced access to support outside of the home. So we've clearly seen a number of particular pressures for young people. And well, we certainly had a very good indication that this is likely to have had a substantial impact on the basis of a repeat of the national survey conducted by NHS Digital to look at the mental health of children and young people. And this was survey was repeated in July 2020. And here, compared to the 1 in 9 children that had a probable mental health disorder in 2017, 1 in 6 children and young people were found to have a probable mental health disorder in July 2020. So then we were sort of a few months into the pandemic. And actually at that point, restrictions had eased somewhat. So as we'll see from our data, it's possible that that may be an underrepresentation of how things have been at other points in the pandemic. So I'm going to be talking to you particularly about the co-space study, which we launched a year ago now in March last year. And the co-space study is a longitudinal study where we invite parents and carers of children aged 4 to 16 years and also adolescents themselves to report on mental health symptoms on a monthly basis throughout the pandemic. And then we also try to identify who is experiencing what and what sort of factors may be explaining those differences. So one thing just to stress before going any further is it's really important to highlight that this is a sort of it's an online survey, and we don't have a nationally representative sample. So particularly this is a relatively affluent sample compared to the general population. So it's really important that we don't use this data to draw conclusions about the prevalence of mental health problems. But what it can do is tell us how things have changed over time amongst this sample to get an indication of what might be going on more broadly, and also to look at how that's varied for participants in the study who are living in different circumstances or who have particular characteristics. And the main findings can be seen here, where we can see how mental health symptoms have changed over time throughout the pandemic. And you can see the yellow line shows you your primary school age children, and the blue line, the secondary school age. Now, this data is based on the parent report, because if we use parent report, we are able to look across that whole age range. And you can see that based on parent report, actually the line's a bit flatter for the secondary school age, but we see quite dramatic shifts, particularly in the sort of restlessness, inattentional type difficulties during the times of maximal restrictions. So we saw difficulties increase during the first lockdown, then start to reduce as lockdown restrictions eased. And then we've seen a recent increase again over the last couple of months. And generally that is a consistent pattern across the different sorts of difficulties that we've seen. And we've seen particularly in the secondary school age, a recent increase in emotional difficulties. And of course, as symptoms increase amongst the general population, this means that the numbers of children and young people who are experiencing problematic levels of difficulties inevitably increases as we sort of shift the curve along towards the more problematic end of things. And so here you can see the plots to show the number of children and young people who were identified as possible or probable cases, meaning they were likely to have a level of mental health difficulties that were severe and were causing significant interference in their day-to-day life. So this is important because, of course, people might say, well, of course, we're all going to experience different symptoms just because the environment's so different in the pandemic. But what this takes into account is actually people who felt that they were struggling, these difficulties were causing interference and having an impact in a negative way. And again, you can see a very similar pattern with some particularly striking levels of difficulties amongst the primary school age children. And again, particularly when it comes to those more behavioural difficulties, conduct problems, hyperactivity, inattention, but also notable that there are amongst some groups we've seen notable increases at particular points among the secondary school age group. But really important to highlight that, of course, when you look overall across this whole population that's taking part in the study, it really loses the variation and the very different experiences that have been had by different people within the pandemic. And I think we're all very aware that we've all had very different experiences depending on our particular circumstances. So we've also looked at how changes over time have varied according to particular characteristics of the child or the families. And essentially what we found is that when we look across these different types of mental health symptoms, we find that there are a group of children and young people who had very low levels of difficulties at the beginning of the pandemic, and they've continued to be low throughout. So this is the line showed in red here. And actually, generally, this is about 50 to 60% of the children in each of the graphs that I'm going to show you. And you'll also see there's a group here in green who were struggling at the beginning of the pandemic and have continued to throughout. But of additional concern is, of course, that you have this group in blue who started off in the pandemic with fairly low levels of symptoms, but those have increased as time went on. And here, this is looking at data from lockdown one. And when we look at who these children are and how they differ from the red group who have been fine throughout, we find a number of characteristics. So they're more likely to have been male when it comes to hyperactivity and attention, but also these children are more likely to be in families that are on particularly low incomes. Younger children are more likely to have had these particular difficulties, but also children and young people with special educational needs or neurodevelopmental disorders. And we also found some wider family characteristics that parents reported at the beginning of lockdown were associated with a more negative pattern. So that included parents reporting higher levels of depression, anxiety and stress, parents reporting higher parent-child conflict at the beginning of the pandemic, and also lower levels of family warmth at the beginning of the pandemic. And essentially, we see similar sorts of patterns when we look across the different types of mental health symptoms that we've been measuring. So again, for conduct problems, there's a substantial group in red along the bottom who've done very well all the way throughout, and a group at the top in green who were struggling at the beginning and have continued. And then there's some who've gone up and some who've gone down in between. And you'll notice the sorts of characteristics associated with those three groups who've had difficulties at some point in the pandemic are very similar to what we saw before. So including special educational needs, low income, high parent stress at the beginning of the pandemic, higher conflict at the beginning of the pandemic, and so on. And then finally, when it comes to emotional symptoms, we have a slightly more complicated pattern with a few different trajectories going on. But really, the findings are quite consistent in many ways, in that, again, you have this significant group who've had low levels of difficulties throughout. And then the groups who have experienced more difficulties at some point during the pandemic, again, are characterised by these same sorts of things. So being on a lower income, higher parent-child conflict at the beginning of the pandemic, presence of special educational needs, higher parental psychological distress, and also in this case, the child having a chronic health condition. So just to summarise, I think we've seen very clearly that prior to the pandemic, the prevalence of mental health problems in children and young people was very high. And whilst clearly very variable. There is increasing evidence for a range of sources, and I've just spoken about a couple of them today, for an overall negative impact of the pandemic on children, young people and their parents' mental health. And we can talk more about that later if we have time. And really important to note that pre-existing vulnerabilities, so many factors that we already knew were associated with more negative mental health outcomes, have been associated with a more negative picture during the pandemic. So that includes poverty and other challenging family circumstances and children's special educational needs. So just to conclude, really, I think these findings highlight how critical it is that we make sure we identify those who do have enduring problems at this stage and going forwards, and make sure that we can identify those children and ensure that they can access evidence-based support promptly so that we can shift these negative trajectories. So thank you very much. I'll stop there.